Carly's going to come read for us Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 11.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have had you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God.
Well, friends, I know, I know we're in February, but it is our year launch. And so I want to start today by talking about New Year's resolutions, not revolutions, New Year's resolutions. I want to do this because New Year's resolutions show us what people want their whole years to be about. Well, they would if people stuck to their resolutions. You can probably guess, though, can't you, what Australians decided to do, what their New Year's resolutions for 2025 were. Surveys tell us, and it's generally always the same stuff. There's things about health, like eating better, getting fit, quitting smoking, quitting vaping, quitting drinking. There's money things like saving more, spending less, paying off the mortgage, paying off the credit card. And there are a few other things as well that get tossed in there. Things like want to travel overseas, want to sleep more. That sounds great. Want to sleep more. want a change of jobs this year. These are the things that Australians want 2025 to be about for them. And I don't think any of them are particularly surprising as you hear them. Perhaps you've even made some of these decisions for yourself this year. The question I want to pose, though, is what about us as a church? What do we want 2025 to be about for us? Yeah, in some ways, that's a bit of a trick question. Because we want 2025 to be about what any year would be about, right? We want it to be about living for Jesus and living for him more and more with our lives. We want to do that together as a church. And we want to actually see more and more people start living for Jesus this year. That's at the heart of our church. That's always going to be at the heart of our church, who we are. We don't want to lose that. But sometimes it's right for us to focus on a particular thing. That's what I want to talk about today, a particular focus for 2025 that I reckon is actually going to help us be the kind of church we always wanted to be. And to see this, we're going to be touching on some of the things that we've just read from Philippians chapter 1 that Carly's read out for us. So let's jump into Philippians 1 a little bit. This is Philippians is a part of the New Testament. It's a letter written by a couple of early leaders in the Christian church. Their names are Paul and Timothy. You see that in verse 1. And they're writing to the Christian believers in the ancient city of Philippi, which is just in modern-day Greece today. One of the things you'll notice, though, as Carly read out that passage, there's an ongoing partnership between Paul and Timothy and the church in Philippi. I'm sure you picked it up as we read. And in fact, if you go home and you read all through Philippians, it'll only take you about 12 minutes. But you'll see this idea of their partnership just keeps coming up again and again. Perhaps verse 5 shows us this really clearly. I'm going to read from verse 4, but look at it in your Bibles there. From verse 4, Paul and Timothy say, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's an ongoing partnership, right? First day until now. But notice there, it's a partnership. They're partners in the gospel. They're gospel partners. Both Timothy and Paul and the Philippians, they want to see the gospel go out. They want people to hear about Jesus more and more, and they want people to start following Jesus. They want people to grow as followers of Jesus and to live their lives more and more. They are gospel partners. This is the foundation for them. For Paul and Timothy, the Philippian church were partners, not passengers. You notice the difference? Partners, not passengers. Because there's a real difference between those two things, right? It's a difference in attitude that does lead to a difference in action. Partners, not passengers. See, passengers, they're just along for the ride, aren't they? They try and make things as comfortable as they can, and then they kick back and enjoy things as much as they can. That's passengers, but partners are different. Partners are very active. They're invested in what's happening. They're involved in what's happening. They keep at doing things even when it's hard. They're partners in it together. Recently, I've been reading this book here called The Wager, which actually Luke put me onto. Thanks, Luke. It's a true story from the 1700s. It's about an English ship that sailed as part of a fleet, and they were aiming to attack some Spanish-held territory in South America. Now, you might get an idea from the title at the bottom. This is a tale of shipwreck, mutiny, and murder. Things didn't go according to plan. It's a very good book, though. But one of the things, as I was reading this book, one of the things I learned was what it was like to sail as part of a ship back then. Everyone had to be involved. You see, the crew was divided up into different shifts. And when your shift was on, you had to be there. Like rain, hail or shine, nighttime, daytime, even if you're not feeling up to it, even if you want to have a bit more sleep, even if you're feeling a crook, you go. Because if I don't come up and do my job when it's my shift, actually it's going to affect everyone. Everyone is put out by that. These kind of sailing on ships back then, it's not like a modern day cruise. Monday cruise, you can kick back and put the feet up, relax in the sun, let other people do the work. But that's not what it was like when you were sailing a ship back in the 1700s. Modern day cruise ships have lots of passengers. The old day ships that were sailing around the world, they needed partners. Everyone needed to be in. It's the kind of thing that Paul and Timothy had with the Philippian church. The Philippians weren't passengers just along for the ride. They were partners, gospel partners, fully invested, fully involved. And as I was reflecting on that this week, it made me think, you know, I'm really great. I love our church. Because I see amongst us that we are gospel partners together. I mean, yes, we have mission partners. We love to support the work and get behind Anya and what she's doing at Mawson Lakes Uni, the Purdy family and what they're doing over in Chile, Dave and Margie, what they're doing up in Coober-Pedy, and Compassion and what they're doing right across the world, and especially in Indonesia. We love that we are gospel partners, mission partners with them. But what I'm talking about right now is I see us being gospel partners together here in Para Hills. And what I mean by that is, we don't just see our church as Scott's church, or just, our church is, in, you know, it's just the leadership team's church that we kind of come along to. But we see ourselves as together we're Jesus' church. And so together we seek to honor him. Together we're seeking to see the gospel grow and bear fruit, not just amongst us, but throughout our suburbs here, aren't we? And I can think of so many examples where I see this being the case. But can I just point out to two examples where I see your gospel partnership now? First one is the way that you got behind Jake and Dave so that we can bring them on as ministry apprentices this year. Many of you will remember, last year I put it to you that we wanted to bring these guys on to train them up so we can send them out into the world as harvest workers, gospel workers. But to do that, we needed to raise amongst ourselves a certain amount of money. It was a big jump in giving. And together you showed that you were gospel partners. You pledged to give your hard-earned cash for these guys. And it was a moment of really clear recognition of gospel partnership. And when I wrote a letter to you at the end of last year, you might remember I quoted this passage from Philippians. Because the same gospel partnership that existed between Paul and Timothy and the Philippians, that's really what we're seeing exists amongst us here. Gospel partnership. Can I give you the second example of how I see this amongst you? I saw your gospel partnership in action last week. Because we've had to go through this slight venue change, shifting from the gym up here to the Performing Arts Centre. And it's great that the school has allowed us to be here. We'll be here for a few weeks. And there are some things to love about this place and some things that might not be exactly what we'd like it to be. But last week, as we moved and had our first week here, as we had to figure out where things went and how to make this space work for us, I saw your gospel partnership in action. It wasn't just a few, but heaps of people made it happen. People got here early to help with setup, and I saw people brainstorming different ways that we could make the space work well for us, people giving feedback afterwards to help us make it work even better this week, people staying back afterwards to help pack things away, people doing things they don't normally do but wanting to make it work for us, people moving furniture one way and then moving it back when it didn't work, people looking out for others and helping find our space and how to make this space work for us. There's probably even much more that I didn't see that happened. But it's just one of those signs that shows us we're gospel partners together. I thank God for that. I hope you do too. And what I want to say is let's keep at being this kind of church where we are gospel partners together for the sake of Para Hills and for the sake of Jesus. And I want to jump back into that Philippians passage because it shows us more about gospel partnership. And I don't want to go through verse by verse, but I just want to note some key things here. Firstly, notice that gospel partnership is actually built on sharing in God's grace together. So if you've got your Bible open there, you'll see it in verse 7. Paul and Timothy, they're writing, it says, "It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending, confirming the gospel," what does it say there? "All of you share in God's grace with me." This is the foundation of gospel partnership. It's that we all share in God's grace together. The things that draws us together isn't that we all kind of like the same things or we all come from the same background or we all have the same life experience. No, no, no. Our partnership is based in something much deeper. Much better than that. Based on God's grace to us, that's what we share. That we have all experienced God's kindness toward us. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? We all share in God's grace together, but actually that doesn't mean we all do the same things. We all share God's grace, that's the similar thing, but our lives don't all look the same always. You can see that kind of in the passage, in the way that God's grace has shaped Paul and Timothy and the Philippians. So what is Paul doing in verse 7? What does it say he's doing? It says he's defending and confirming the gospel. That is, Paul is being a cross-cultural missionary. And this has led to him being in chains. He's been put in prison. But that's not the same for Timothy, right? Timothy is on the mission trip with Paul. But he's not been put in prison, and we know this because in chapter 2, Paul says that he's going to soon send Timothy to the Philippian church. But also, things are different for the believers who are in Philippi. They're there in this ancient city. They're living for Jesus. And in chapter 4, verse 15, we hear how they're supporting Paul and Timothy. They don't go on the mission trip, but they give their money so the missionary trip can happen. See, gospel partnership doesn't mean we all do the same thing. What it means is we share in God's grace together. And then we have the same heart for the world as each other, even as we do different things to one another. But gospel partnership does lead to at least two things for all of us. Two things. One is gospel partnership leads to us having an affection for one another. You catch this in verse 7. says there, because they all share in God's grace together. What does Paul say? That he's Paul has these people, that the Philippian believers, he has them in his heart. Or in verse 8, Paul says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He's saying, since Jesus feels this way about the Philippian believers, since Jesus has great affection for them, well, then so does Paul. Look at how one commentator puts it. He said, Paul asserts that his longing is beyond human limitations by insisting that his longing is really the love of Christ motivating and empowering him. See, because Jesus loves the other, I love them too. That's the affection of Christ pouring over. Being gospel partners leads to this affection for one another. And I say, wouldn't it be great if we keep showing this affection towards one another this year and always? Why don't we pray and ask God to do that work amongst us? But gospel partnership also leads to a second thing, and that's what I want to go to now, and that is prayer. The Philippians are in partnership with Paul and Timothy, and that means there's lots of prayer going both ways. So in verse 3 and 4, Paul and Timothy mention how they're praying for the Philippians constantly, regularly. And in verses 9 to 11, you see the kind of things that that Paul and Timothy are praying for the Philippians. It's a prayer that the Philippians would be loving and that their love would actually come from knowledge. That actually know then the best way to live so that when Jesus comes back, they're ready for that day. I mean, it's a really rich prayer. This is the kind of prayer that'd be great to be praying for one another, can I say? But it's not just prayer going from Paul and Timothy to the Philippians. It actually goes from the Philippians back towards Paul and Timothy as well. And we know this because in chapter 1, verse 19, Paul writes that he knows the Philippians are praying for him, praying for his specific situation, and especially that he'd be released from jail. You see there how partnership leads to prayer. The sign that people are in gospel partnership together is that they pray for one another. And that's where I actually wanted to land on today, this idea of praying for one another. Last year, our leadership team talked about this together, what we wanted for 2025. We wanted to have a particular focus on prayer for this year. We wanted to make 2025 a year of prayer. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it, well, for lots of reasons, but here's two main reasons. One, because prayer reflects our dependence on God. We can't make anything happen on our own, can we? We can try everything. We can will something as much as we'd like, but that never means it's going to happen. What we need is for God to be at work. We need to be dependent on God. We need to pray to God because he's able and he can do more than we can ask or imagine. We pray because we're dependent on God. But also, again, prayer reflects our partnership together. Our partnership as we seek to take the gospel to Para Hills and beyond. As we seek the gospel to bear fruit amongst us here as well. This is what we want 2025 to be all about then, a year of prayer. And that's going to shape a number of things that we do. So as we launch the year, I wanted to talk a bit about this. You know, we'll keep praying in the ways that we normally would. You know, up the front in church each week, someone will lead us in prayers. Afterwards, together over morning tea, we can still sit and pray with each other. We pray in our community groups. We also actually have this wonderful thing. Some of you will know about this. We have a WhatsApp group where we just share prayer points during the week. A wonderful way to keep praying for one another. And look, if you're not part of that and would like to be, just tap me on the shoulder later and I'll make sure we add you in. We're going to keep doing these regular things as we pray together. We're also going to do some different things too. Here's a few things. Throughout the year, we're going to recommend some resources that could help you pray. Might be a book, an idea people have, an app, devotional, anything that can help us pray. So you'll see these things pop up every now and again on Sundays and in our weekly emails. And actually, I want to say then, if something has helped you become a prayer, perhaps why not let me know? Because it'd be useful for all of us to know. It could help more of us to be praying. Speaking of what we do on Sundays, in the middle of the year, we're going to have a teaching series on prayer, a short teaching series. We'll look into the Bible and dive into some prayers that are recorded for us in Scripture. In our community groups, we're also going to look at prayer. Groups are going to start back in a little bit over a week from now. And in turn, we're going to do some studies based all around the idea of prayer. My hope is this will give us a really good kickstart into the year as we start a year of prayer together. But here's the thing I'm most looking forward to that we're going to do this year. Each term, we're going to have a church-wide prayer night. One night each term, community groups won't run that night. Instead, we're all going to come together and we're going to pray. Do things like committing our mission partners to prayer, committing world events to prayer, each other, things that are happening in our own church, committing it all to God in prayer. Those are the kind of things you can look forward to as we make 2025 for us a year of prayer. But before I finish, I did want to talk a bit about what I want to be praying for this year. Because in a sense, we pray for everything, right? We bring everything to the Lord in prayer. But there are four specific things that I'd love us to be praying for this year. These four things, particularly because we are gospel partners together here at Para Hills. Let me tell you these four things. Here we are. First one, pray for each other. Well, that might seem like the most obvious thing, and it probably is, but I want us to keep praying for each other because we together are in gospel partnership. Let's keep praying for one another. Again, that's why I love the WhatsApp prayer group, because it just makes it so easy for us to do that through the week. This is why I love seeing people pray together at church on Sunday over coffee at morning tea or things like that. We're partners together. Keep on praying for one another. And keep on doing this even when you don't know what to pray for someone. You can just pick up a prayer like we've seen here in Philippians chapter 1 in verses 9 to 11. It's a deep, rich prayer. Pray that kind of prayer for each other. Second big thing to pray for this year. Let's keep praying for mission. That means praying for our mission partners, who I mentioned before. It also means praying for us to be on mission here in Para Hills. Mission is one of our big purposes. It's a key thing that God has given all of us to do, to tell others about Jesus and why he's such good news for our world. So friends, I want to say, let's be praying. Be praying for the friends and family that you know who don't know Jesus. You know, often we talk about praying for five people, one for each day of the working week. Won't you keep praying for them? And can I ask, can you be praying for Dave Newen this year? Dave is going to be one of our ministry apprentices in 2025. We'll commission him next week here. And one of Dave's key responsibilities is going to be mission. He's going to help our church be on mission in Para Hills. One of the reasons we wanted Dave to do this role, because we think it's going to be good for his training, but also because of some things that happened last year. See, last year we saw over 20 people who don't yet follow Jesus, but who are interested enough in Jesus to kind of interact with our church and talk about the gospel together. We want to keep seeing that kind of thing happen. Next year, we'd love to see even more than that, right? In 2025, wouldn't we love to make sure we care for these people well too? Making sure that we present the gospel clearly to them like we should. Trying new things that are going to help us meet new people in our neighborhood. And starting things that are going to serve them well. So as you pray for mission, can you pray for Dave as he leads us in this in 2025? And let's keep praying also for the new people God is sending our way. Again, one of the other key purposes for us as a church is membership. We want to have a deep and rich fellowship here amongst us. And we want others to be able to easily join into that. So I want to ask you, can you be please praying for Jake Hodge? Jake's our other ministry apprenticeship in 2025. We're going to commission him next week too. Come back next week to see that, be part of that. And one of Jake's key responsibilities is going to be to oversee this membership purpose and particularly leading us in caring for the newcomers amongst us. Again, one of the reasons for asking Jake to do this is going to be good for his training, but also because of some of the things that happened last year. In 2024, does anyone want to have a stab at how many new people came amongst us? What do you reckon? No, everyone's, as soon as the pastor says that, everyone's a bit awkward because you never, no one wants to say a number because it could be completely wrong. Now, let me tell you, last year we had 237 newcomers come amongst us. That's a lot, right? Now, some of those people were just visiting for a week or so, but 76 of them were local believers who were at least a little bit interested in possibly making our church their church. 76 is a lot. Perhaps you're one of those and you've decided to stick with us and you're here this year. But can I say, if I'm honest with you, last year I dropped a couple of balls and some newcomers sadly slipped through the cracks. And that's on me. This year, Jake is going to lead us in this area, though. Help us continue to welcome newcomers well. Help us to follow up with them. Help us to run things like Belong, where we help them learn more about our church. The idea with this, though, is so that newcomers can join us easily and be enfolded into our community, to start living for Jesus with us. So this year, as we have a year of prayer, can you pray for Jake as well as he leads us in doing this? Fourth thing. This is the last thing I've asked us to pray for. This one's a little bit different because it's about another partnership that we share in. So we're gospel partners together here in Para Hills, but as a church, we're actually gospel partners with a bunch of other churches, and particularly with the three other Trinity churches in the northern area. They're Trinity Church at Golden Grove, at Modbury and Campbelltown. Now, you might know this, you might not, but we already partner with them in a few things, particularly the Life Series and Combined Sunday. But right now, we're also exploring plans together to perhaps work in partnership to plant some new churches, start some new churches in the north of Adelaide. I think this is really exciting, can I say? Because we've always talked about wanting to send a church plant out from us ever since we started as a church 5 years ago. The thing is, we just haven't grown to a size where we can do that in a healthy way. So now we're exploring if we could actually church plant in partnership with some other churches, other Trinity churches, working together. Maybe it could look like doing something a bit different. Like, could we plant a church that's on in the evening time to look out for different people who couldn't, or who for whatever reason won't come in the morning? Could we do that? Or perhaps working together to think, maybe what would it look like to partner together to start a new church, to plant it further north from here, up towards Elizabeth or beyond? Look, I want to say here, at this point, you can't hold us or anything because we have not said we've not locked anything in. But it's exciting, isn't it? And this is the kind of thing we need to be praying to God for, praying that God could be at work for this. If this is the right thing, that He'd help us to figure out how we can partner together well for this. Could you pray for God to be behind this, for God to be at work through this? 2025, let's make this year, friends, a year of prayer. Let's pray for those things, for each other, for mission around Para Hills and Dave as he leads us, for the newcomers we get to meet and for Jake as he leads us, and for church planting and our partnership with the other Trinity churches in the north. Can we pray for these things? Pray regularly, friends. Pray constantly. Pray for these things on your own, in your own time. In our community groups, pray for things. And come along to the prayer nights where we'll pray for these things together. Pray because we're partners in the gospel. And if we're not praying for this, then no one is, are they? And pray because we are totally dependent on God. Ultimately, it's His work. We just get to join in with Him as He does it. So we want to keep praying and bring our plans before Him. Let's make 2025 our year of prayer. In fact, let me end then by praying. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. We recognize that we could not come before you except for Jesus. We pray in his name to you now, Father, grateful that he has done everything to bring us back to you. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer because you treat us like a father who loves his children. You treat us as those who you want to give good gifts to. What a joy, what a privilege. Thank you for hearing our prayers now. We wanted to pray, Father, with thanks for each other and the partnership that you've given us together. Help us to keep expressing that gospel partnership in affection for one another and by praying for one another. And we pray that this year you'd help us to grow in prayer. No matter where we're at, whether we're great prayers or we're struggling, help us to grow in prayer this year. Help us to keep committing to prayer one another. Help us keep committing in prayer the mission of our church, the newcomers that we get to hang out with, and the possibility of planting further around in the northern area too. Father, thank you for hearing us now. Thank you for our partnership in the gospel. Thank you that we share in your grace together. Thank you for hearing us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.